Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome. This is Access Astrology at the beginning of 2015. Happy New Year, everyone. This is Mark Waltz checking in with you from New York City. And also in New York City is
Ann Ortley here at my bright red desk with a glass of green juice.
Wow.
Doing the holiday. We're doing the holiday cleanse. A little kale and cucumber before I go to bed at night.
Excellent.
Yeah, wow. We're starting 2015 it's an 8 year, so we got to kind of get clear on the life. So
okay.
All good. And hopefully Heather will be joining us. She can sign in from the banks of the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
Or the Missouri River. I never remember which one. Some M River.
It's the Mississippi.
The Mississippi.
And it's cold.
Way
it's
out there.
Frozen. It's frozen.
It is frozen. It's freezing cold outside.
Yep.
It's very chilly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, lots going on.
Amen. What did you notice in the heavens? What's been catching your attention?
Well, I'm just sort of generally tuning into the year, and the big things for the year will be the finishing up of this Uranus-Pluto square that finishes up in March. And then we're going to get Saturn moving into a square with Neptune later in the year. So we have that to look forward to.
And how do you think that will show up?
There are a lot of things that happen with the Saturn-Neptune thing, and a lot of it has to do with you can think of it as a dissolving of structure and a kind of, things get really, we have to take a kind of, there's sort of an awareness that time itself is ephemeral, that we don't control things. And there's a sort of looseness that we have to go into the whole thing with. So as that later in the year, as that comes in, we have to really sort of redefine a lot of things in a more nebulous way. And as we do that, we'll find a lot of actually very creative solutions to things that have been problems, especially structural problems. But if we try to take a super rational, figure it all out approach, it's not going to work so well.
Right, because Neptune wants to be creative and go with the flow rather than logic.
Yeah, exactly. And the Neptune and Saturn, those two principles within us, one, looking for the sort of rational structure to things, and the other, the more intuitive, loose, inspirational way of approaching things, they're struggling with each other. And where we have moments that they work together or that they provoke each other to work well, they don't even seem to be working well, but a solution pops out of the mess. Right. And if we're watching for solutions, we'll find them. They get squeezed out and from the pressure. But if we focus on the pressure, it'll seem like there is no solution and we're kind of caught between them. So the trick is to let things get pressurized and then sort of stand off to the side and get a glimmer of solution. The solutions will appear sort of out of the corner of your eye. It won't be something you're looking right at. So that comes up. And otherwise, we have Saturn moving into Sagittarius and stopping in the spring and backing up into the end of Scorpio again to finish up some things there. Then it comes out and moves on into Scorpio or Sagittarius, and that's when the square with Neptune is up again. So, kind of that's what I see as the major theme for the year.
For the year, yeah.
Yeah, it follows on finishing up this Pluto-Uranus square, which is not an easy deal, because they've brought us a lot of stuff. And there's one more pass of that. So I think, we'll be very much aware. And that's the authority versus freedom struggle that we've seen for some years now. And this is the last hurrah for that. And I think it's likely to be a big one. This is a party you won't want to miss.
Yeah. You're not going to be able to. It'll be happening in your living room as well as in the world around you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It ain't an easy energy, but it certainly is catching our attention, you know? So,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's an interesting, one of the, when I was looking at it, it was kind of like the year is definitely broken into themes. There's the theme of the fire triangle through the first part of the year. You know, there's a grand trine in fire with Jupiter and Leo, Uranus and fire, Aries, and Saturn and Sag. And then traveling like 2 degrees and 1 degree apart for like 4 months, the Uranus-Pluto square. So today, Moon was in Leo. It set off the terrorist bombing, trine the Uranus in fire, set off the terrorist attack in the in Paris. When it's in Earth, it kind of sets off the Pluto stuff. So we're going to really watch these two guys back and forth every week, different stories as they travel together, kind of pushing on each other. The image I get is like kids, well, they're much bigger than kids, but kids in the back seat punching each other. You did this. No, you did that. And it's a very combative energy. We have to honor the combativeness of it, because it really wants to. I hear Heather. It really wants us to really work on defining our issues between freedom and power, control and chaos, and what is actually our vision. So everybody's got this struggle going on somewhere in their chart. Maybe you're watching a friend of yours struggle with it, or you're just watching the societal changes if you don't have planets involved in it, but you're having it somewhere. So it's certainly a big story. So Heather, welcome.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Hi.
And thank you. And how were your holidays?
They were very nice. Down in Florida with my dad and the rest of the clan. He's very frail, but otherwise, he had this kind of poignant goodbye, which was like, it's like he's saying goodbye forever, and it was kind of a little freaked me out, but I thought, well,
I bet.
For an old Aries riding off into the sunset, But
with Mercury, Venus, and the Sun going over Pluto right around the holidays, it was a lot of bittersweet feelings.
Yes,
Layers and layers of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was running late with a client. I'm sorry for just getting on now. I hear you talking about the contentious energy of the moment with that. Were you speaking of the Mars-Jupiter opposition echoing the Uranus-Pluto square?
No, we just were doing the Uranus-Pluto square that it's in place. We were kind of doing more of a year overview that it's in place, 2 degrees apart.
Most
April,
of the year.
So most of the year, yeah.
And I think it's highly significant that this first week of the month of the year, Mars opposed Jupiter, and that's often, a lot of competitive energy, gives us a lot of energy for the year, but a lot of bravado and difficulty and, a militancy and frustration, and which we certainly saw blow up in Paris today.
Right, and Jupiter, of course,
the bombing
rules publishing.
Yes.
So they attacked the publisher,
And the bombing of the NAACP office in Colorado.
I missed that one.
Yeah, there's very little publicity about it, funnily enough. And but there's a series of events, and the Sun just went over Pluto, and we're wondering with Mercury, Venus, and Mars all in Aquarius right now. The question of social justice is really important. Now, it meant something very different to the gunman that went in to shoot the comics than it does to us. But it's a powerful question for people. I'm hearing that, just even in groups, some very lovely group activity going on, but I also hear a lot of frustration and the question about what's fair in that group.
Right, right. Or what's that group want to have, you know, as part
what's
of
the goal?
Its structure.
Yeah.
What's the goal? What's the vision?
Mm-hmm.
I missed the NCAA. What, it was in Denver, got bombed?
Yes, there was a... I think everybody was all right, but there is, there was a bomb set off at the NAACP office, and I'm trying to find more information on that, but I haven't yet.
Wow. Yeah. You don't like those bombs.
No.
No. I think when, you know, when we, you know, sometimes people are like, well, you know, the energy. I'm like, it's also recognizing it has higher forms, too. And
yes,
that a lot
absolutely.
Of times when we're working in the collective, meaning the world, the world takes the lower form of the energy, which makes people kind of go, you know, the world's going horrible. But it is understanding that the energy, when it's in the collective by itself, it doesn't have consciousness. It doesn't have a push to shape. When it's used in its own magnificence and we're really able to harness it and kind of move it towards a different way of looking at things, we're able to really kind of create a whole other kind of reality because that's the whole evolutionary push of it. It's like saying, what's your vision and why?
Right.
And how do you want it? How do you want it? What's the shape you want it to be in? Oh, this way. And it's kind of like when you're kneading dough or pushing Play-Doh or clay, and you push it this shape, and then you go, no, schmooch it, that's not right. And then you do it again, no, schmooch it. You know, or I remember learning how to, those potteries, you know, where you throw dough and you pull it up, clay, and you pull it up, and then you touch it, and the whole thing collapses. You know, and you're like, it was really a good pot. And then it goes down in flames. It's a very sense. It's highly sensitive energy for all of us because it's pulsing on such a hard on a hard level, you know. And people are really just feeling it.
And Venus and Mars are running together a lot this year. They're together all during the spring and then again in the fall. And I notice at the moment they're both in Aquarius. And right around the end of January, they both enter Pisces, and we get into this highly emotional, mushy February. And then by the time on February 19th, Mars, and then soon after that, Venus goes into Aries and approaches Uranus. So on our relation on the weekend that we're the three of us are teaching about. Relationship astrology in New York. If anybody's interested, we'd love to tell you all about it. And we have openings. So Mars, Venus, and Uranus are all conjunct in Aries. And we're talking about dynamic, changing relationships and how do we take all this crazy energy and put it in a good place. Those planets will be all squaring Pluto but trining Jupiter as we meet. And if that isn't interesting relationship dynamics for a weekend on relationship astrology. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's great.
We selected well. But yes, it's called electional astrology. That'll be another course another time. But first, learn about your relationships and come join us on the 7th and 8th of March in New York City. Hotel list and all on the internet. So we'll send out stuff on that too if you're interested. But yeah, I think it's I think part of the energy, at least as I've been seeing it, is people really struggling to make changes. You know, really struggling in a good way. You know, they're really pushing, saying, "Okay, this is my change. This is what I'm going to do." So I just had a couple here earlier today, and you know, we'd talked in the fall. They were thinking of moving to Maine, and it just kind of the whole trip, the whole move, just kind of pulled together. You know, it's very much about. What's the life you want to create for yourself? What's your vision of your life? And then your job is to get that vision in place. And the last couple of years with Saturn and Scorpio has been about clearing the psychological blocks to help you get that vision and allowing you to really say, okay, now that I've cleared the blocks, this is what I want to do next, you know? So mm-hmm. it's a very powerful time.
It is.
Yeah. So kind of fun. Wonderful. And then in the middle of the year, Jupiter goes into Virgo, and we mm-hmm. all really focus on our tasks, what
right.
our tasks are.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting because the Uranus-Pluto square will be beginning to pull away. And what we saw in the 60s was it's not that when the exact aspect is off, it's not suddenly everything gets better and hunky-dory. It's
right.
that as that aspect breaks away, but we do begin to see things get into gear and begin to solidify. Everything has been in flux and change and recreating over and over and over again in the last couple of years. And it continues through March, through the last square. As things begin to solidify and become more solid and time to work hard as Jupiter enters Virgo, we have the work to make it so. But we better like where we are by then.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can keep using this upheavaling, changing, mutating energy this spring to take anything in our life that we don't like how it's going and use that energy to shift it. So when we coalesce into a good place. And
right.
that's get involved in politics to help it coalesce in a good place. Get involved in, you know, look at your life. What are the few, choose three things that you really want to change by next year. And use this energy to help shift that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it really is energy that wants to be productive with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we can, you know, consciously hop onto it, the better. Because then we're
mm-hmm.
really working with it in a different way.
I agree.
Working with it in a productive way. So, Mark, what do you think?
I think basically we're. This year is going to be a lot more easier to handle than last
mm-hmm.
year. I feel like there's just a greater sensibility all around us for what these energies are about.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward
yeah.
to it. Yeah,
that is good. And it still plays on America's chart pretty heavily all year long and all next year. So we are definitely in a time of great potential for flux.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of excited about where it can go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely can really shift, you know, in a moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just suddenly it's a whole new energy.
So I see we have a lot of callers. Do you want to choose one or
we
two?
We have been gone for a couple of weeks, you know.
Yeah, and people know that if you've been on in the last couple of months, we may move on to the next one just to give some new people the chance. But want to see who's there?
Yeah, you want to
roll
the
dice, Dan.
Oh, you want me too? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, we got a couple hands here. Hi, 443-768, you're on the air. Can we help?
Yeah, the birthday is October 4th, 2003.
Mm-hmm.
That's my daughter.
That's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She was born in Las Vegas, Nevada.
At what time?
7:47 a.m.
47 a.m. in Las Vegas.
Okay. And what's your question?
And what's the question?
Well, I'm just kind of wondering what you may be able to tell me about how I can help her. She's kind of having some social issues, and I'm wondering if you know of it or see any signatures of
mm-hmm.
like an Asperger's type of thing mm-hmm. that I might look into.
I would say yes, but not, you know, we certainly can't diagnose that. But I would say, because often we'll see a pattern that we don't know the level, that's up to the soul and to the personality and to the life. But that Moon-Neptune conjunction in Aquarius can be rather abstract. And that she's quite intuitive and easily overstimulates with her Neptune to the Sun in the 12th house, that she can get lost in her own inner world. And not necessarily in a bad way. I think there's some things that she's excellent with and some
okay.
skills. This is a tough year for her, and it
mm-hmm.
looks like it's bringing up some questions around the family and especially on her father's side. She has Saturn opposed Chiron square her Sun natally. And that's kind of an old soul, you know, that comes in. It's a little too serious to be a child, that she'll be more comfortable as an adult than she is as a child.
Okay.
And right now Uranus and Pluto are ringing that T-square in her chart like a bell.
Mm-hmm.
So you may be seeing the worst of it.
Right now.
But
yeah.
But it's a really good time in that process not to worry about it, but to get her any therapy you can for helping her calm her overstimulated nerves so that she can learn how to soothe herself so that she can stay connected rather than to sort of shut out and disassociate.
Okay, she has a really bad problem with loud noises. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
It's a highly attuned nervous system because of
mm-hmm.
the Aquarius moon, Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and not even loud noises, anything abrasive, anything. She's got, like,
ugly.
If you have her hearing tested, she's got probably
mm-hmm.
a very high range
mm-hmm.
of frequency, meaning,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
she can really hear dog mm-hmm. whistles with this chart.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I would get her doing some kind of music where she's in control of the noise. And I would honor she's got perfect pitch, I would think, with this chart, with the Virgo Jupiter ruling the third. But also it's not always an easy thing to have. The other part is, because of her psychic ability, she picks up stuff and she doesn't necessarily know how to handle it. Like, she'll
exactly.
hear things. She'll
mm-hmm.
hear things. She'll read, I don't know if you want to call it read their minds. But what you might talk to her about is, the difference between what she picks up versus what actually is she hears,
mm-hmm.
if that
mm-hmm.
makes sense. Because she's got a broad spectrum of hearing ability. So it could be clairaudience, like she hears them saying things in their head, and she doesn't know that they're not saying it in the world, if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense. So she makes
mm-hmm.
her cautious. That people can, you know, like I had a friend with a similar chart to this, and she would go to church on Sunday and would laugh because Jesus, she sees things, your daughter hears things, she would see Jesus on the altar and he would be going, no, 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 that's not what I said. And the priest would be, and he would be, no, no. And so she's laughing in church and her mother's like yelling at her and she's like, well, it's funny, Mommy, because Jesus is, she did not realize that she saw things that other people didn't see until she got into high school.
Mm-hmm.
So your daughter, because mm-hmm. of her sensitivity and her ability to hear range with that Uranus Mars too in Pisces, I would be very curious to kind of probe with her a little bit about, well, what did you hear them say versus what did they actually say when their lips were moving? And kind of get her to be able
mm-hmm.
to distinguish what she's picking up.
Mm-hmm.
Because she may be picking up stuff that she just doesn't know what to do with. And it
mm-hmm.
is a gift from the father's side of the family. If there's anybody on that side of the family that has, you know, kind of the ability to hear voices.
Hypersensitive disposition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, hypersensitive. So it comes from the dad's side. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's somebody, you can go to the website, and she does remote work, but also just information on her website, called brighteningconnections.com. And she's a parent coach for highly stimulated kids or kids that overload. And
mm-hmm.
so she works with many children, but also children that are on the spectrum. And
okay.
just and the work she does is about getting right brain and left brain to work together and how to soothe your nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
just brighteningconnections.com, check it out. And you may find someone else locally, or she could recommend somebody that can help you. Because I think if you can help her not overload, and I also noticed that there's online a group of people that have Asperger's, that have some wonderful, they've set up a website and they do consulting for how to deal with kids with Asperger's. And they do some wonderful work about how not, that what normally we do to pull the children out only makes it more
it's
so.
Worse for them, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so to work with her nervous system, because, you know, it, you know, I grew up around mathematicians, and most of my family friends would have been nowadays be called Asperger's, and they were wonderful people, but they felt odd ducks out of water as kids.
Okay,
and they were
kind
professors.
Of what I'm wondering, as a mom, what I can do to help her.
Right.
So okay.
I would check in on that and assume that there's ways of helping her connect and soothing, and instead of harassing her, bring everything way down to calm, soothed, connected. Just sit there and waft good energy at her, nice music, and then get some professional support for helping her nervous system. Just helping her learn how to work with her nervous system now before she really hits the wild years.
Okay.
Yeah, and think of yourself as being a channel for her to do that and for her to find the way rather than really hands-on. She's going to tune in better by her own inspirational sense than by a sort of hands-on thing from family.
Okay.
Okay,
with
great.
The moon
thank
Neptune,
you so much.
Don't underestimate your importance with her, though, with that moon Neptune.
Yeah.
And I would also, because she's very attuned to you, too. So your connection with her, you know, standing in a, okay, you know, this is who you are. It's, in a non-judgmental way, because she really wants the love with that Venus on the rising, and she's very, very sensitive to criticism. So with all the Virgo. So she's super tuned in. She doesn't need a lot of direction, but with the Aquarian part, she always needs choice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, feeding that choice component as opposed to, well, this is the there's a problem here. There's a way to do it. Let's talk about maybe we could do this or that. Because she actually can be very articulate about what actually is going on inside of her, even though it might, you know, if she could explain it to you, like, well, there's just, you know, there's like, and getting her working with the imagery or the sound where she can demonstrate to you what it sounds like. And I would encourage you with music with her, where she's able to create her own noise, which helps, because that will really help use up a lot of that extra energy that's being overstimulated now.
Okay,
so,
very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And
Thank
you so much. And good luck.
Yep.
And this is a good example for the general audience of, you know, an astrologer can see the issues, but we can't, you know, we have to, every person's way to those issues or the level of the problem is hard for us to diagnose. And we can, you know, I remember one description from the man who helped write the diagnostic manual. He said, what's the difference between obsessive compulsive disorder and a highly conscientious personality? He said, is it working for you? Then it's the personality. If it's not working for you, it's a disorder. And that's a soul choice, not astrological choice.
Right.
The weak, and that's a soul, you know, karma and what we do with our life. But we can see the pattern that might go either way. We can see the challenge of it and the gift of it. But where you are in that spectrum is a personal choice, and it's something that can be affected by the work that you do to improve the situation.
Right. And that's the beauty of it, is you can always work with the energies and shift them.
I agree.
In their level of manifestation, or move them, maybe not shift them, but work with them in a different level. And the British lady says we're done.
Okay.
So we all invite you all to join us for a weekend of learning about relationship charts on March 7th and 8th in New York. We have hotels available, and we have a really good program lined up, and we'll be back next week. So this is Ann Ortley signing off from my bright red desk.
Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota.
And Mark Waltz in New York.
In New York.
Thanks for
Take
tuning
care.
In.
Have a great week.
Okay. So have a good week, folks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye now.